Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Familiar scripture, but a thought on our heart, I think ever relevant, and I believe the direction he'd have us to go tonight. Romans chapter number 12. I just want to read the first two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we pray you'd take your word and magnify it to us. May we receive it and may it find its place in our heart. Reveal yourself to us as you reveal ourselves in your word. We trust this to be true as we ask to be changed. Help us now to be distinctly Christian in all that we do. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Certainly, as we've tried to navigate our way through the Sermon on the Mount, as I was just reflecting on where we have been so far in Matthew chapter number 5 as a church, it became very clear to me that what Jesus was saying to his disciples or teaching them, and that is what it says he did, that they sat down and he taught them. As he was teaching them how to be distinctly like him. You see, to be Christ-like is what it means to be a Christian. I don't know about you, but that is a troubling statement. Amen. I hope we're honest enough to say that I need to be more like him. I need to be more like him. I need to be, especially in the day that we're living.
That's right.
Not that it's not always been the case, but especially in a time when it is so dark. We need to be honest about our predicament. As a people today, we're living as a culture in a post-Christian society. They can call it what you want, but we're living in a day where so many have seemingly become enlightened. And in such enlightenment, they've become very foolish in their thinking. They've actually become void of judgment, as the danger would be in a culture or a society where the judgment of God is being performed. In many ways, in many levels, we're experiencing and seeing the power of a reprobate mind all around us. I still believe that God's the answer. Jesus is the answer. That will always be the story. It will always be our message. But I want to challenge us tonight as we look at just these two verses, as we do our best to break them down and to examine what the Holy Spirit was saying to the Romans. I believe he is still saying today, I need to be distinctly Christian, right? And I say that because we're living in a time where so many claim to be Christian, right? It's almost as if that is a certain race of people, a Christian people, or a Judeo-Christian society, as is or was at least America. When we think about this, we recognize that there are people that need to know the difference. They need to somehow recognize the difference between what is Christian-like and what is Christ-like. And so I believe we find in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12 a great reminder of what it means to be distinctly Christian. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Number one, I want us to recognize that what the apostle was laying out before them was not a command. In the same regard that Jesus or that God did not command Adam in a sense that he made Adam do anything, he actually told Adam, and it was Adam's choice to either do or not do the will of God. And here we find the apostle saying quite clearly, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. He said to them, not I demand or I command. He said, I beseech you. There was an earnest pleading in his request. Why? We'll get to that in a second. But the why is extremely important, so hold to that. To be distinctly Christian is to be different than the rest of the world. To be distinct is to be Christ-like. If we truly are like our Lord, we will be alienated. If we're truly like Jesus, we will be, as he teaches them in the Sermon on the Mount, we will be different. We will have a view, a perspective, a worldview that is completely different than anyone else. Now, to some extent, we'll be persecuted for that very reason. But it is also the way that Christ will distinguish himself above every other thing in this world. Right? There are other religions, but they're not true. There are other beliefs, but they're not accurate. There are other gods, if you would have it, but they're not alive. Only one is alive, and that makes Jesus Christ distinctly different. Am I different every day than my peers, those that I work around and those that I work with? Am I different than those that I see that live in the world and may claim to be Christian but have no love for Christ? Am I distinctly different in a way that the world would recognize that I have been with Jesus? That's what they saw in the disciples. They spoke of it in the book of Acts. As they make note that these men have been with Jesus. You say, how did they know? There was something distinct about them. And though I don't believe there are apostles among us that worked the miracles they did then, that was for an extraordinary time and a purpose beyond that. But we have a similar purpose, to be distinct in a world that is lost to its own relativism. It's lost to its own belief that every way is okay, right? Whatever true is, it means to you, then that's okay as long as you're okay with it. And it leads you in some direction. It doesn't really matter because we're all going to end up in front of God somehow and it'll all be okay. That is simply not true. We have to be distinctly different, markedly different. When people see you, they think to themselves, there is something about that person that I do not know. I don't have it. It's genuine. It's real. It's different. It's powerful. It's alive. It compels them to do things that I cannot do. I can't seem to live it. I can't seem to walk. May I say to you today, except you be born again, except you know Christ in your heart, you are not a Christian.
Amen.
You can't be one if you've never been born again. And though I fear we have pews all over the world that are filled with people that claim to be Christian, and yet there is no distinctness about them. There is no Holy Spirit that dwells within them. There is no abiding truth that separates them from the rest of the world. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, hear me. We need to be distinctly different in this world. We've got one shot, right? I don't know how long your life will be, but I can tell you mine's not worth much unless I do something for him.
Amen.
Because I'm going to stand before him one day and he's not going to ask me about all the days I went to work. He's not going to ask me how many good dogs I run and how great they were behind a rabbit. No, those are not what will make me distinctly different. We read in the book of Hebrews of so many that had a powerful faith with God. the heroes, we call them. And as we read their stories, in my own heart, I marvel at their distinctness, at the time that they lived in, how it seemed that all the odds were against them. In the days where the prophets served, in the days where they had to stand when all of the world was going a different direction. And yet their distinctness is what exalted God among the heathen. We're living in a day when the heathen rage. Among us, there's so many that live and live in an abandon that seems like there's no end to. And yet we know that only Christ can save. I beseech you, brethren, though he might have had the authority to command us, yet we find for love's sake, he rather beseeches us with a loving entreaty, knowing that though he requests, his request should be one's reasonable service, we also recognize that it must be one's own desire. Right? I could give you the list, and some of you want the list. Right? You want me to say, do this, and then do this, and then do this. But if it did not come from your heart, you are still indistinct to this world. You're no different than the Pharisee who had to check off the list of do's and don'ts every day. And based upon that list, that accumulative list that they accomplished within their own power, they thought themselves ready for God and found out that Jesus would look them in the eye and say, you're nothing but whited sepulchres. You're dead on the inside. You want the list so that you can do the list, and then you can forget about everything else. May I say to you today, being distinctly Christ-like is being a Christian 100% of the time. Never compartmentalizing your Christian duties or experience or life. Never singling out only Sunday as the day you worship God, or you serve God, or you follow God, or you witness for God, or you pray to God, recognizing that being distinctly Christian is being filled with the Holy Spirit and drawn into a life of obedience to the King, to the Master. I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, if we're to win anyone in this world for Jesus Christ, we will have to be distinctly different. Part of the confusion in the world we live in today is that many of the lost look at those who go to church and claim to be Christian, and they cannot see a difference. You know, by definition, we would name that hypocrisy. To say you are something that you're not. And I think the greatest violation for any of us would claim to be something that is like Jesus Christ and yet be the farthest thing from it. What a tragic thing that so many people believe the affiliation with the church can somehow get them to heaven. They believe that. It's true. So many religions today are built upon one's baptism. All you got to do is be baptized, and that is the assurance that God has marked you as one of his. May I say to you today that these things are not true. There is a gospel, but it is distinctly different than everything else in the world. Let me be clear tonight. You will not go to heaven except through Jesus Christ and him alone. You'll miss him. You'll miss him. You could be a part of every church around you, but you'll miss Christ if you don't get born again, if you're not saved. You see, being a good person and all of these other things that the world has established as being what a Christian truly is are not true. What it takes to be a Christian is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, born again, saved. These things are distinct. And they are things that only can occur through the power of Jesus Christ as he comes inside one's own heart. Is that where you are? I challenge you tonight. Answer the question in your heart. Am I truly a born again believer in Jesus Christ? Do I know that my name is written in his book? All right. I got to move on. But my own experience in this reminds me that every day I see incredible examples of people that are sold out to living for Christ. And I'm so grateful to even be a part of them. And so to you who are being faithful and staying the course, Please continue. Right? Don't let up. Don't give in. Be faithful to God. It matters. Are there people in this world today that are distinctly different? Yes, there are. And for them, I am so grateful. Amen. Oh, how they encouraged me and they strengthened me. And I recognize that through their commitment to Christ that mine should be better. And the resolve that they have for the Lord. And they live faithful to Him, whether here or not here. They live for Jesus Christ. They are distinctly different. And I know they are. I know they are. And that it inspires me. But I also see them who are living in lives of compromise. They have negotiated truth as if it was theirs to meddle with. They compromise holiness by living not as He says, but as they want. It will not do. It will not do. And so I beseech you, by the mercies of God, I beseech you to do what? I believe the apostle was very clear. He said, number one, present your bodies. Now, we're going to break that down quickly, but when you present something, you give it, right? What is a present? And it's spelt the same. A present is a present. I want you to present your bodies, he said. Three things: a living sacrifice, holy, and acceptable unto God. Can we do that? It was a trick question. When you say, I surrender all, I just want you to know what it means. When you say, I give everything to the Lordship of Jesus Christ to do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, however He wants, and wherever He wants, when you say, I surrender all, may I say to you, you have accomplished a distinct opportunity to share Christ with others, because at that point we become different. Present your bodies, meaning that I willingly give myself in every capacity, and may I say, every ability that I might have is something He has given, right? I've nothing to boast in, and you neither. There's none of us that have anything that merits favor toward God or makes us exceptional in our own right or our own intellect or our own ability. None of these things are anything but gifts from God. And so when He beseeches us, He says, listen to me, to be distinctly different will require that you give yourself body, mind, and spirit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that you become unto Him vessels that are simply empty but usable, that He can take here, fill up, pour there, move here. We become the instruments of God's glory through His gospel, and we become distinctly different in a world that is dying in darkness, dying in their own sin and compromise, dying in their own ignorance of truth, dying needing to see light, needing to experience salt, needing you and me to be what we claim to be. How many times do we go along with the things of this world just because it's easier to do that? How many times do we laugh at their jokes when we know that they're inappropriate? How many times do we, instead of looking the other way, look toward those things that are enticements to sin? How many times do we expose ourselves as being distinctly Christian, knowing that it could cost us everything? I realize some of this may be premature, but we need to hear it. I don't know what the cost to serving Christ ultimately will be, because I've not made it to the end yet. I do not know what tomorrow may bring. I don't know what a year from now. I don't know where I'll be a year from now or where I'll be. I don't understand the things of God or the complexity of all of this. But what I do know is there is a responsibility. And the apostle beseeched them earnestly. He said, please listen to me. I entreat you to pay attention. The important thing for you and I in this world that is so dark and so lost, with a people that Jesus died for. May I say, remind each and every one of us, the reason Christ came was to save the lost. How many lost are we seeing saved? Are we distinctly different? When someone thinks of a place when maybe their heart is weary or burdened or sorrowful, and they feel the drawing of God, do they think of this place to come? Because there's a distinctness about it. There is a love here. There is a drawing here. There is a distinct love for Christ among its people, or its doors open and its lights on to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ. Or are we just having church? Distinctly different. Is that you? Or do you just blend into the crowd? Does no one recognize that there is something different about you? It seems that wherever the Spirit of Christ abides in one, that it's as if it's a light that shines, a beacon somehow, that people somehow know there's something different. I beseech you to be a living sacrifice. We've all heard it. The problem with the sacrifice that's alive is when you put it on the altar, it does what? No, it squirms off because it's alive. It don't want to die. Be honest. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to die. Spiritually, to offer myself unto God is to be crucified with Him. To allow myself to become a sacrifice that is but a pawn in His game. An instrument in His hand, an instrument with His ability. I am simply the vessel to be filled. Can I give myself to God without flinching and say, here I am. Use me. Do with me whatever you will. Take me wherever you want me to go. I will say whatever you want me to say. I will be what you want me to be. I am a sacrifice that is not dead. I am living, therefore I have a choice to make. And the choice is to present my body unto Christ as a sacrifice. Living, yes, but also holy. Holy, meaning that I have done the necessary work to repent. I have examined myself, right? That's simple instruction from the Word of God. Confess your sins and He's faithful and just to forgive you. Have we confessed our sins? Have we admitted our sins? Have we been honest about sin? Have we evaluated our lives according to the narrative of the Scripture? Have we looked into the holiness of the One who saved us and examined ourselves and said, oh, pitiful me in my sin. Help me. Forgive me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Are we honest enough to say that sin has to go? Present my body unto God, but my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit, myself, everything that I present unto God, if it is not holy, it is unusable. Therefore, unacceptable. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and according to the apostle, our reasonable service. When you present a sacrifice to the high priest, the one thing that was important, at least in the shadow of the Old Testament, was that the offering be pure. There were strict and stringent guidelines on what could and could not be offered. And though they skirted around that and found themselves in trouble often, I believe that we are in the same place. We try to present to God on Sunday morning something that was not where it was supposed to have been on Saturday night. We try to bring to God something on Sunday or Wednesday that somehow we believe to be acceptable and holy when we've yet to deal with the truth of our sin. To be distinctly different means we have to be honest about sin, not in your brother's life, but in yours. We have to be honest enough to say, you know what? Jesus would not do this. Right? You can rationalize, you can justify, you can compromise, you can do all of these things in your poor little brain trying to convince yourself why you should be able to do this or should be able to do that, right? You can take scripture, you can break it down, you can take peace here and peace there and make your own gospel. But that does nothing but make you just like the rest of the heathen in the world. You're depending on yourself to get to heaven. It won't work. He's asked me to be distinctly different. And though I don't have the ability to be distinctly different within myself, it is not me that ultimately makes the difference. But it is Christ in me. Therefore, he's saying, I'm not expecting you to be the power that influences or changes the lives of other people, but you've got to give me the body. You've got to give me the vessel. God can fill it, and God can pour it. As a matter of fact, he knows how to fill it and where to pour it. But he can't use it unless it's clean. And he won't use it. It's be distinctly different means that I don't live like the world lives. Period. There is no other life. There is no compromise. That's what the world wants us to do, is to compromise holiness and righteousness and godliness, those things that he has made clear are requirements and necessities. He wants us to negotiate with truth. And you know what? The enemy has won that battle in so many people. Say, how do you know? Because they're no different than the world. People are dying lost out there, and what they need is to see Christ. Right? They don't need to see somebody trying to be like their neighbor or trying to be like a Christian. They don't need to see somebody else that dresses up and comes to church on Sunday morning, but then has nothing to do with Christ and no life for Christ, no fruit for Christ, no evidence that there is something within them that is greater. And then we go out and we tell the world that they need to be saved, and they just look at you and shake their head and say, why? You're no different than I am. You were with me at the bar last week. I seen how you was talking to that other lady the other day, and there you are, a married man. What makes you think that what you say has any effect on me? Man, let's be honest. That's what's going on today. People that claim to be Christians have so compromised their testimonies by lives that are not distinctly different. I'll tell you what distinctly different is. Is when they say, come on, go with me. We're going to go over here, and you know it's not a place to be. And you say, no, can't go. And they say, why? And there's your door, right? There's your opportunity to be distinctly different. Will it cost us? Yes, but doesn't anything that's good cost something? Doesn't anything that's right cost something? Didn't Jesus clearly say that it will cost us to live this way, to be distinctly a Christian? I beseech you to present your bodies. Give it up. And say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Living, holy, and acceptable. And according to the apostle, these are our reasonable services to God. Certainly what he's done for us, we owe him that in the very least. That as a willing, clean vessel, we become unto God a present. We present unto him our body, mind, soul, spirit, everything that we are. We lay back on that altar and say, here I am. Use me. Use me. Next. Verse number 2. He said, I beseech you therefore that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Right, there's the rub, isn't it? There's the hard part. There's only a few people I know that don't like to be liked. I do know a few people that really don't give a rip what you think, right? But most people want to be liked, and they want to be liked by everybody. One of the faults in that particular weakness, I would say, is the fact that we tend to compromise at times when we should really try to be distinctly Christ-like. Because in giving in to some of those things, we allow the enemy to placate or negate the power of God's gospel through holy living. Don't be conformed to the world. Right? We all need to be honest right now. Isn't it tempting to conform? Isn't it tempting to just kind of blend? Isn't it tempting just to not say anything? Just let that go on. It is for me. It's tempting for me just to say, well, that's none of my business. It's tempting for me not to lift that light up just a little bit higher, especially when I know the darkness is so great. It's tempting to say, you know what? I'm really busy today. I don't have time to do what I think need be done, to do what I feel need be done. I'll try to get that tomorrow. Conforming to the world is simply acquiescing to the enemy's snare. We simply step our foot right in it, knowing that it's exactly what he wanted the whole time. We are flesh, right? You can look at me and tell me all day long, I got this, I'm holy, I'm right, but I know you're lying. You're no different than I am. You're going to have to fight this till the day you die. The desire of the flesh man to conform to this world will be ever present till you take your last breath. It will want to take the easy way out. It will want to do everything that takes the spotlight of gospel, the spotlight of holiness off of you so that you're not exposed to the world and exposed to the persecution. Right? That's nature. That's not the troubling part to me. The troubling part is that we, with eyes wide open, walk into these circumstances and we fail the gospel and our own testimonies because we will not be distinctly different. All you got to do is be holy to be different. Amen. All you got to do is be holy. Live your life to the best of your ability, seeking God and His righteousness, allowing the mandates of Scripture to permeate every facet of our living. Everything we do, work, play, home, everything that we are, let Scripture mandate what is right and what is just and what is good. And if we will expose a living sacrifice unto God to be a holy vessel for Him, you can mark it. You will be distinct in this world. Don't be conformed to the world, right? That's where it gets tripped up, right? But he said, be ye transformed. Now I love that word transformed. It means dramatically changed. Dramatically changed. Be ye transformed. He was clear about what not to be. Don't conform to this world. Don't acquiesce to this world. He said, but be transformed. Be dramatically different. Dramatically changed. Now, he tells us how we are changed. We're changed by the renewing of our mind. Where does the renewing of our mind come from? According to the apostle in Corinthians, he said, when you're born in Christ, you become a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The only renewing, the only living, the only effectual power that there is in this world is the Holy Spirit of God. And it renews us day by day. It is alive, it is powerful, and it lives in us to be a force in this world. Amen. A force that is distinctly different. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Dramatically changed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's what he said in the book of Titus. He said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Is that us? Right? Are we distinctly different? When the world looks at us, are we not just oddballs? Are we holy? Right? Not just different, but are we righteous? Right? Not just characters that seem to be a bit on one side, too far, right? Fanatical, whatever you want to call me. But so in love with Christ that everything else pales. So devoted to Jesus Christ that nothing else matters. Distinctly Christian. Jesus made statements that were so troubling. They run in and said, Jesus, your mother's out here. You remember what he said? Being distinctly different means I have one God and one God only.
Amen.
I serve only Him. How? By the renewing, by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, by the strength of that Spirit that is alive and is the third part of the Godhead, who is the essence of holiness and righteousness. It's not that I can't be holy, it's that I don't want to. Because holiness lives in me. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is ever present inside me. It was imputed to me the very day I became His. I became marked a child of the King. I became a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. I am a member of the family of God, and I will always be. But I have a choice to make when it comes to whether or not the world knows my affiliation with Christ is sink or swim. Right? Some of them may look at you and they may think, well, yeah, he's a Christian, but he'll still go with us. He'll still do that. He'll go along with that. Sounds like we're not being distinct enough. Compromising? Let me close. Transformed, dramatically changed, right? If I had to ask you of your testimony today, is that the one part of it you would get right? I was dramatically changed. What I was, I am not no more. Of no power of my own, but when Christ came in me, I became a new creature. Right? Hopefully all of us would slip our hand up and say, yep, that's what happened to me. I became a new creature in Christ. The things I once loved, I don't love them anymore. The things I once hated, well, that's what I love doing right now. That's what I love about Christ, is all of those things I once hated. You see, being born again of the Spirit of God is not some kind of click that you join and then unjoin or unfriend when you're not liking it. You see, when I signed up with Christ, it was till death do us part. I'm His and I am His forever. I will never be a child of the enemy. My name is written in His book. And I am going to heaven because of the transformation that occurred in me. And that within itself should make me distinctly different. not conformed to this world, but dramatically different, dramatically changed. Let me close with this. That we may prove, right? So why did we say all of what we just said? What's the purpose? What's the end? Right? If we have A, B, and C, what ultimately is the result? What is it he's trying to get to? And he didn't he so carefully just put that right in there? He said that we may prove. What does it mean to prove anything? It means to take evidence, and by that evidence, establish the truth of something. What evidence is he referring to? My life. That puts a responsibility where it goes. That you may prove. Prove to who? Well, who's looking? Prove to who? Who wants to know? It ain't Sam that wants to know. It's not you. It's them that want to know. Prove to who? That Jesus is real. Prove to who? That Jesus is Lord. Prove to them that do not know him. I don't have to prove it to you, do I? I don't have to prove to you that Jesus is real, do I? No. It's not you I'm trying to prove to. I'm trying to prove to those poor folks out there that have no clue who Jesus is. And I am trying to prove it by the evidence of my own change. Isn't that what Paul told Agrippa? He said, the best story I can tell you is what happened to me. I was dramatically changed. You know, King said, Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. You know what Paul was trying to do that day in the court of all of the unbeliever? He was trying to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the only thing I've got to prove to the unbeliever that Jesus is real is my life. I can toss a Bible at them, but they don't believe in that. They don't know it. They don't understand it. They can't see it. They're blind to it. The only thing I've got to prove to anybody that Jesus Christ is real and he's Lord is a life that is dramatically changed. That is committed not to conformity, but a resolve to serve Jesus Christ regardless of the cost. To lift up the banner of his shed blood in that empty tomb and to tell the world that he is real. He lives. And he lives in me. And you know what proves it to him? A life that is distinctly different. Come get a song. We might. We might try to cop out on this one and say, you know, I'm just not good at this, or I'm not good at that, or we can make all kinds of excuses about the inabilities we have or the insecurities we have and the struggles that we have and the failures that we have. And we can say all of that, but you know what? We've negated the simplest of truths, and that is that the Holy Spirit of God lives in me. I don't go anywhere he don't go. I've never faced anything that he wasn't with me 100%. I've never been in it. I've never faced an issue that he was not right there, ready to help me, ready to tell me, ready to guide me, ready to show me, lead me, make me, teach me, whatever I need, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ain't you glad of that? That's applause right there. Thank you, Jesus. No, I don't have any excuses. No, I have to, I guess, be honest like the apostle and say, oh, wretched man that I am. Josh and Peach, will you work around? They need Jesus, a bunch of them, don't they? You've got to be distinctly different for them to see him. All them people you're going to school with, they, a bunch of them need Jesus, don't they? And it costs us to be distinctly different. We become marked by the world because of that difference. But let's be clear, the only way to prove that he is real is let him be real through you. That'll make you different. That'll make that poor soul look at you and say, I wish I had that peace. I wish I had what they have. Right? When they're going out on the Friday night or Saturday night and they're getting drunk and they're bragging to you about it and they're coming, they're saying all these things, you know what they're thinking in the back of their mind to a person that's truly distinct? They're thinking all the while, I wish I had the peace they have. I wish I had the comfort of the Spirit of God. I wish I had the joy in my soul that they seem to always have available. Distinctly different. Maybe you got a need in your heart. The altar's open tonight. Simple invitation for you to get right with God. We got to quit playing around with the things that affect eternity. This is life and death. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to hush up. Is there any one thing that you wouldn't give up? If the Lord said right now, I want you to stop this one thing. Is there any one thing that you wouldn't say, yes, sir, I'll quit doing that right now? I'm not talking about something that's sinful. Steve, if the Lord said, stop working on them old cars, and I want you to do this, what do we say? Amen. Easier said than done. Lord said to me, sell them dogs and take every hour you spent hunting a rabbit and start fishing for souls. You know what I'm supposed to say? Yes, sir. Right now. Done. Distinctly different. Be an instrument in the hands of the Master. And beloved, when he picks up an instrument, my, how he can play. What songs he can play. How he can influence and affect the souls of men just by having the vessel in his hand and it be all his to use. That's distinctly different. I fear we struggle with things that we shouldn't, that we need to just turn loose of. We need to commit ourselves fully to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow Him to make us vessels that make a difference in the world we live in. Salt and light. Where are we at? Stand as we sing.